Exodus 32:1. When the people saw that Moses delayed in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said to him, "Come make gods for us who will go before us, because this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we do not know what happened to him."
Thank you, son. Good morning. I am happy to be here. There was a couple times when on the way here we had to stop, almost come to a complete stop, because the snow covered even the road. I couldn't even see what was right in front of us. And I said, you know what? I'm going to take my time, because this message has been on my heart for a couple of weeks now, and I hope that you guys hear me, and that you are encouraged, and that it alters your life in a positive way for the Lord. Thank you to the leadership of Good Tidings for allowing me to have another opportunity to speak, and with that, I'm just going to open in a word of prayer, and we're going to get into it. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord God, for who you are. You are amazing, and we thank you for your word that you have left us so that we know which direction to go in. As I speak, Lord, I just pray that your word will go forward. As your word mentions, it will never return void. So whoever this message is for, Lord God, I just ask that it will help them to grow closer to you, and if they do not know you, that it will allow them to come to know you. So these things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, the title of my message this morning is Waiting. Let's see. Okay, so I work in a doctor's office, and usually when people come in to see the doctor, they're known as patients. And while they are eager to see the doctor, we put them in this room that we call the waiting room. And oftentimes, I am dealing with people who are not patient at all. So this morning, I'm going to talk about how I'm going to have. I have 3 points that I'm going to get to, and then I'll sit down. The first point that I'm going to make is waiting is a form of worship. The second point, if I can get this, how come like when other speakers come up and they do, it seems to work seamlessly, but then every time the second point is delay is direction. And the third point is God wants us to wait on him. Now, I just want to talk about worship for just one moment so we have an idea of where my head is. And the definition that I have is when we worship God, we actively recognize him as our creator, our savior, and our king. Worship is how we tell God that we love him. Worship is our reasonable service of gratitude for all God has done for us. Now, I say that, and then I will say that when we wait, it exposes what you worship. Waiting doesn't only test our patience, but it tests our worship. Now, the scripture that the scripture that my son read is the scripture that my son read says, "Now, when the people saw Moses delayed coming down," so we see the word delayed, "from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron Moses' brother, who was the second in command when it came to Moses, and said to him, "Come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him." I'm going to give you a little background. In young people's meeting right now, we're going over the plagues. And the children of Israel witnessed and survived the plagues. And we see this in chapter 7 to 13. When they were in bondage, they left Egypt. And not only were they able to leave with their cattle, they were able to leave with the riches from the Egyptians. They gave it to them before they left. They witnessed the parting of the Red Sea. They witnessed and won battles just by Moses keeping his hands above his head. They won the battle. The moment his hands came down, they lost the battle. Had nothing to do with their ability to fight, skill, talent, anything. Just the fact that the Lord was leading them and through Moses helped them to win battles. When Moses went up on the mountain, he went up a couple of times, but he came down with the commandments. And they were etched in these stone tablets. And the first commandment that was on that tablet was, "Thou shalt not have any other God before me." But yet we see in this verse that they're asking Aaron to make gods for them after witnessing what God has done for them. Because Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, they went right back to their old habits and said, "You know what? We want you to make us gods that can go before us." And I thought it was interesting that in chapter 20, it said that they went to Moses and said, "Moses, you go talk to God and speak for us," because they were terrified when they were in the presence of God because of the loud thundering and the darkness and the clouds and all of that. So I just thought that it was interesting that Moses, who was a representative of God, who led them all this way, they saw all these things. Just because he delayed, their worship changed from God to whatever they desired to make, which in this case was the golden calf. And so what it shows is that when they were done waiting, they moved on. So this is how waiting can expose what you worship. And what they were pretty much saying is, if God doesn't move in our timing, we're going to make it happen ourselves. God, we don't know what happened to Moses, so you know what, we're going to create our gods ourselves. If God won't fix it, we'll find our own solution. I know for myself, I've done this plenty of times in my life. And, you know, you pray and you don't get a response right away, so you're just like, okay, I guess God is telling me to do it myself. And that's not necessarily true. I have a video up here of a celebrity who he came to Christ, and then afterwards he left the faith, and they asked him about it, and this is what he said.
It is, but I have my issues with Jesus. I have my issues with Jesus. There's a lot of stuff I went through that I prayed and I didn't see Jesus show up. So I had to put my experience in this world, my experience with my children, my experience with other people, my experience with my account, my experience with my brand, and my experience with the level of music that I was dealing with in my own hands.
And so what he just said echoes exactly what the children of Israel was experiencing. They didn't see, so they did on their own. The word of God says, Psalms 37 and 7 says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him." And I thought it was interesting because sometimes people feel just because they're waiting that they're being patient. But it doesn't necessarily mean that. As I experienced in my office, You can wait and not be patient at all. And so I think it's a direct message to us that while we're waiting, to also be patient. And not just to do it randomly, but it's for who? For him. That capital H means that we're talking about God. In Deuteronomy 8:2, it says, "And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." Now, I learned that in Brother Wilson's class, and I held on to it. Like I said, this message has been on my heart for a couple of weeks now, and we're put through trials sometimes to see, who are we worshiping? Are we asking for it because we want it and that's it? Or is it something that when we receive, then we can give back to God? But we're not thinking about giving back to God sometimes. We're thinking about, I want this and I want it now. J.G. Wentworth. Okay. It says, waiting humbles you. It definitely does. When you are not in control, it can be a humbling experience. And this is why sometimes we try to take things into our own hands, because we need to see some type of movement. But waiting is also how we can worship God. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. This is the reward in waiting, perfect peace." And of course, this is talking about God. And if you keep your mind on God, the reward in the waiting is peace. I'll get to it. In Isaiah 30:18-21, it says, "Therefore, the Lord will wait, that he may be gracious to you. And therefore, he will be exalted, that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you." So those two verses, it's saying God is looking to give to us. He's looking to hear, to give to us. And he's waiting to hear from us. And in the next two verses, it says, "And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore, but your eyes shall see your teachers." It says, "Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whether you turn to the left." And it says that the test is preparing us. When we are ready, we will hear from him. So it's not in our time, but it's in God's time. Point number two, delay is direction. One of my favorite holiday movies is a movie called A Christmas Story. And it's about this kid who wants this BB gun that he's seen that looks a lot like the Western rifles or whatever, and he's ecstatic about it. And he's always asking his parents for it, but they always give him the same answer: "You'll put your eye out." And he goes, and he goes to the mall, and he sits on Santa's lap, and Santa asks him, you know, "What do you want for Christmas?" And he tells him, "I want this particular gun." And Santa's like, "Nah, kid, you'll put your eye out." And so he's disappointed. And then Christmas comes, and all the gifts are open. He didn't get the BB gun. But then his father brings out one more gift, and guess what it is? That BB gun. He's so ecstatic. He's so excited. He can't even wait to put his coat on. He runs outside. He lines up a target. He points. He aims it. It hits the target, bounces off the target, hits him in the eye. His glasses fall off. He then looks for his glasses, steps on his glasses, and he is distraught. He goes inside crying, and his mom has to comfort him. So sometimes Delay isn't punishment. It's protection. Had he never gotten that gun, that situation would have never happened. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Proverbs 16:9. We can make plans. We can. But God is the one who orders our steps. I think we're all familiar with a GPS system. They're pretty much on everyone's phone, and I use them even if I don't need it. But when you're going someplace new, you enter the destination into the GPS. And when you do that, the GPS doesn't tell you how great that destination is. It doesn't tell you how much fun you're going to have when you get there. But what it does is it tells you, turn right. And it doesn't tell you anything else until you make that right turn. Then it gives you the next step, turn left. And it does that up until you have arrived. And sometimes we are so ecstatic about getting to our destination that we're not looking forward to making each step because we're focused on the destination. And what's interesting about a GPS and similar to what God does is if we make a wrong turn, it recalculates us and it constantly points us back to the direction that we want to go in. So sometimes there may be a delay, but our destination is the same. And then not until we actually listen to the directions that are given to us do we make it to our destination. Acts 16:6 says, now when they had gone through, and I practice these words, but forgive me. When they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. So this is Paul. He wanted to go to Asia, but the Holy Spirit stopped him. He was delayed his plan. Verse 7 says, after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit did not permit them. All right, we tried A, we got rejected. We tried B, we got paused. And it says, so by passing Mysia, they came down to Troas. And then in verse 9, it says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. It says, now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. So he didn't force his way into Asia because that's where he wanted to go. And look, he wasn't trying to do anything wrong. He wanted to preach the gospel. But God still ordered his steps in that. And what I did was I found a map of the path that he took. And if you can see where he started, Asia was right in front of him. It made sense to go, hey, I'm ready to preach. Next town I go to, I'm going to start preaching. But God said no. And if you look where Macedonia is, he had to travel all the way past Asia, cross a body of water, and then start preaching there. But if you see, if you can see, there you see Thessalonica on the way. You see Galatia. And you see a lot of these spots that we see now have become part of the New Testament. And because he obeyed God, he was seeing how he was able to move and that God allowed him to move. Our desires aren't wrong all the time, but it may be the timing of when and what we want to do. So that's why it's important for us to rely on God ordering our paths. A pause may be a redirection on your route. It may not be a no. Danger may be ahead, and God has a safer path for you. A better way may be discovered if you just wait on the Lord. And now my final point. God wants us to wait on him. Psalms 84:11 says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly." So we have to be obedient to God, and we have to obey his commandments. We have to find that walk and be committed. Same as Perrin had promised the Lord that he would fast for him 1 week and was tempted, he did not fold. And he will be blessed for that. Because God says that there's no good thing that he's gonna he wants to give to us. That may be a little small, but this is James 1:13-17. And it says, "Let no one say that he is tempted. Let no one say that when he is tempted, that I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when his desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death." And verse 16 says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. It says 17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, where there is no variation or shadow of turning." You're going to know it's from God. And he gives because he wants to give to us. Isaiah 60:22. "A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time." So God can take something that's small and make it big. But it's in whose time? God's time. And it says that he will hasten it in its time. So for you, it may seem like you're waiting, but when it's time, it will happen and you will be amazed. Thinking about just the children of Israel, when they were in bondage in Egypt, they were constantly groaning and complaining. And before God called Moses, it says he heard and he had compassion on them. So while they were groaning and complaining, God already had a plan. And Moses had to be obedient to the Lord in order for him to use him as a vessel to answer the prayers of those Israelites in bondage. So this is why obedience is very important, because we don't know how God is going to use us. We know that we have plans, but what's God's plan for your life? It may be something better. God did amazing things through Moses, and it's because of his obedience. Philippians 4:6, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Now the word there, anxious, is wanting something so bad that you can't wait. You can't wait, so you just gotta jump into it. And oftentimes when that happens, it doesn't end well, right? So it says, "Be anxious for nothing." That means be patient, wait. Don't be so excited to have something and be committed to something that you jump into it. It says, "Be anxious for nothing." Proverbs 10:22 says, "The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it." I love this verse because it's saying that the Lord is going to give to you, and there's going to be no downside. It's going to be all positive. And I don't take the word rich there to mean financially. It could, but I believe that it means it will fill you with purpose and meaning, and you will be used. And when you're being used by God, it's an amazing feeling. And so with that, there's no sorrow. When I'm giving a message, when I'm at Young People's and I'm sharing the word of God, there's never a time where I'm like, man, I feel bad. It's always like, I'm glad that I was able to share this. Because if I wasn't being used, they may have never have seen this. And so I'm very happy when I see the young people come out night after night. And even yesterday, they heard it was going to snow. And some people, you know, they were going to have a small group. But we ended up having a sizable group. And we were really able to get into the word. And I thank God for it. And I'm happy that I'm being used by God in that way. And the last verse that I'm going to mention here is Isaiah 40, 31. It says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. As my brother testified, it's right there. He didn't know I was going to use this verse. He didn't even know what I was going to speak on. But his words from being in worship with God echoes the same word that was put into me, and I was excited to share. God is moving. It says, thou shalt mount up like wings like eagles. Thou shalt run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God renews us. God sustains us. And God carries us. It talks about that perfect peace. And I'll give one example and then I'll sit down. I don't like driving. I feel like I've done enough. You know, it would be nice to be driven around sometimes, but often when we have to go long distance, I'm the designated driver. My wife sits in the front, my kids sit in the back. And the parallel is this. While they're sitting in their seats, they're being driven by me. They don't have to pay attention to the road. They can sit in their seats, they can do what they want to do, they can sing, they can tease each other, you know, how they do. But eventually, being on the road, the rhythm of the road, is kind of like being rocked to sleep. And they'll doze off. And even though I beg my wife to stay awake and just keep me company, she dozes off. There's a comfort in being carried. When we put things in God's hands, we're being carried by Him. That peace that allows them to fall asleep and relax and wake up at their destination. It's the same peace that God gives us when we let Him take the steering wheel and drive our lives. But it's something that we have to give to Him. They trust me because I've driven them long distances, short distances, and they know that I get them to the destination without any accident. And I'm not saying that to challenge it, but without accident, and that gives them peace of mind. So my wife can be on her phone and check her emails or whatever she's doing. The kids could read and do whatever, and they know that they're in the good hands with Dad driving. And so if God is not your father, He can't drive you. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the influence that He can bring to your life, you're absent from, and you're driving yourself, and you can't be at peace because you have to keep your eyes on the road. So Lord, my prayer, my wish, if you will, is that everybody in the sound of my voice, everybody in this auditorium knows the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior, and you're allowing Him to order your paths. Please, wait on the Lord. Amen.